21st, 2018, the new body, the new teachers. So there are several things that we have made some space here for the men. You don't have to sit in the back.
All Mataji's come.
That's why I don't disturb.
Just some sit. I tried to be very conscious because like 15, 20 years in ISKCON, they forced all the ladies to stand. It was difficult. So I want to be kind also. I don't want to do to other people what was done to me that I did not want. So I want to tell you some, first of all, so please do that among yourselves. Make it at least once a month. Huh? At least once a month. That you spend at least 2 hours every month in some kind of training. Srila Prabhupada talked about how one of the 26 qualities of the devotees is expert. Daksha, to become expert. He says that the devotee should know something of everything and everything of something. One thing I can suggest, there's an article right now on Dandavats by a devotee named Gopika Sharma, who I know from New Jersey, and she's written a very nice article. I suggest that you go to Dandavats and read this article by Gopika Sharma about how to enliven the teenagers. So it's very helpful. Enliven the teenagers. I forget the title of the article. But it's by Gopika Sharma.
Born in but not bought in.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. Thank you. It's a very excellent article. And it was part of the Vibhava Ministry of Education newsletter. So I would also suggest that everybody here, you please subscribe to Vibhava, but that is the newsletter of the Ministry of Education in ISKCON. It comes out, I think, 4 times a year. It's electronic. You'll get it in your email. And so you please subscribe. If you don't know how to subscribe, you can contact Tapan Mishra in Mayapur or Hanuman Prashad Swami. And if you don't know their contact information, you can contact me. But please contact them first. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Always nice to see you.
Nice to see you again.
No problem. I know you are very busy. Yes, I'm not surprised. Only one, not five. And you don't get any older when I see you. Just stay. I think you're getting younger.
Yeah. Maybe externally, but the real thing is happening.
Oh, and there's the other half. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Bigger half.
The bigger half. I will not argue with you. So anyway, I'd suggest that you subscribe. So these, so far, I'm saying at least once a month, those of you who are trained teachers, 2 hours training for everybody else. And then also get the Vibhava newsletter from the Ministry of Education. I would also suggest that you really try to become expert in your craft. Can you understand my English?
Yes.
Am I too fast? You're looking like this, so I'm wondering if you're not understanding. Do I need to be more slow? Do I need to slow down more? Okay. So I just demonstrated something that you should do as a teacher. What did I just demonstrate? No, just now.
You're checking whether you're checking it.
Yes. So if people do not learn, you did not teach. Okay? If people did not learn, you did not teach. If people did not learn, you did not teach. You cannot say, well, I taught, and if they learned or they didn't learn, that's my problem. No. It's not true. It's like you say, I go in the kitchen, I turn on the stove, I put on the pot, if there's food or not, what do? It's not my responsibility. No, that's ridiculous. So people have to be learning, and how are you going to know? You have to be aware. Even while you're teaching, not only at the end, not just there's an exam or there's some project, but you need to be aware. That means you need to be watching people's facial expression, you need to watch their body language, to pay attention if people are falling asleep or she still is looking like this at me.
You did.
Am I supposed to dance now? Okay, unless you are expecting a phone call from the Queen of England, please put your phone on vibrate. And if you don't know how to do that, please ask the person next to you. If you don't know how to do that, you can ask one of your students later. How do I put my phone on? And if you're expecting a call from the Queen of England, better you go out to the class. Put a call upstairs. Okay. I also would suggest you, Prabhupada said that we should be expert in our field. He said, Prabhupada said, we should know something of everything, everything of something. You keep up professionally with your field. Get books, get magazines. If you can participate in webinars online, how to teach, if there's any professional teaching seminars. When I first became a Gurukul teacher, I would go regularly to professional seminars. And I would go to seminars put on for the Christian schools. I would not nurse, sorry. Can someone show her how to turn off the volume on her phone, please? Do you have a volume button on your phone?
Stop.
You
must mute it.
So I used to go regularly to big teaching conventions from the government schools, from the Christian schools. In America, we also have a big homeschool association. And go when you're here, if you visit family in India, also if there's something, any kind of professional training that you can get in person, online, within your community, to please take this service very seriously. Srila Prabhupada, I think I will read this to you. Just give me a moment here to find this. So Srila Prabhupada wrote a very wonderful letter to Jayapataka Swami, which is one of my favorite instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So he says, the secret of surrendering to Krishna, such surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan, that whatever is meant to be, I am doing that. So let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service, never mind what it is. But let all other considerations be forgotten, and only my desire to do the best thing for Krishna's alone pleasure be my motive. This is a letter to Jayapataka in December 19, 1972. So Srila Prabhupada is asking us, this letter is one of the guiding principles in my life. So Srila Prabhupada is asking us to really pay attention to every detail of our service, whatever it may be. So when you are going to be a teacher for the children, this is not just something I do on the side. Not just, oh, I do this and that. And oh, I am also teaching the children. And I go in at the last minute, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't have my resources, I'm not prepared, I don't know what's going on. And so, no. But full attention to every detail. And when you are teaching, when you are preparing, when you are teaching, you should be fully absorbed and forget about everything else. You shouldn't be thinking about your japa and your family and your money and your anything, but fully giving the children everything. And that's also in your preparation time. So generally they say 2 hours prep for every hour teaching. Now of course, if you've been teaching the same thing many years, then you may already have a lot of the preparation. But still, you really want to be thinking about what you're doing. And my dear friends, if you're not willing to do that, I would say, please don't teach. Because if you teach them badly, you can give them a bad taste. You know? And then they will not be engaged, then you will have discipline problems, and then you are going to be shouting at the children, and then they will think, I do not want to come. So better to give them no taste than to give them a bad taste. Seriously. So it needs to be something you put your heart into and you really, really love. And the children will feel this. You may say, oh, we're looking for some skills from your Leela. This, my dear friends, is a skill. Become professional. Become expert. Become a master teacher. Please do not do this just as a hobby. Okay? Take it very, very seriously. So if you set up something to teach each other, you should attend. Just like even now, I've retired from active teaching, but I'm always studying some book on education. Always. I'm reading Bhagavatam, I'm reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm reading Krishna book, I'm reading the books of the Acharyas, and I read a book on education. Always. Or taking some courses. I remain active in my field. You understand? Yes? So that is required. Another thing that I would suggest is you can also perhaps visit other schools. See what they are doing. They're doing something good. They're doing something bad. You can also learn from the bad examples, which you want not to do. So the first skill is get a mentality that I am want to be an expert for Krishna service. Prabhupada is saying this is surrender. You know? He says surrender. He's telling Jayaprataka Swami, what is surrender? Surrender is you think, whatever is meant to be, that I am doing. And what I am doing, this is what Krishna wants me to do. Let me do it with full attention to every detail. Let me give it my full consideration. Doesn't matter what it is. Let everything else be forgotten. And to do it for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive, Prabhupada says. So that is also a very important skill for the teacher. Always remember you are trying to please Krishna. If you are trying to please the parents, you will become frustrated. Because sometimes the parents will be pleased and sometimes the parents will not be pleased. No matter how good you are, even if you are trying to please the children, you will have the same problem. Yes? If you are trying to please Krishna, you will always act nicely with the children and with the parents. But you will not become emotionally affected when they are not happy with you. You understand this? So when I'm dealing with the children, it is, is Krishna smiling? When I'm dealing with the parents, is Krishna smiling? When I'm dealing with the ISKCON authorities, is Krishna smiling? So this is a very important skill for all devotees, but I think especially this is such a big responsibility when you are dealing with other devotees, and especially other devotees who are in the bodies of children. Because they don't have very good defenses. But they're very open and they're very vulnerable. And so if you make some mistake with them, it's more serious than if I make a mistake with an adult. We are forming them. Prabhupada said the children are like soft dough. So it's really taking this responsibility as something very serious. Now we are hoping that with this new Sunday school project, and I don't know what to call it, I don't think we will call it Sunday school, but we'll have to think of some name so people can understand what it is.
Could we call it
Bala Utsav?
We call it Bala Utsav.
But I'm thinking internationally. We need some name that devotees can understand what it is. Because it will be not only for Sundays, but it could be for Fridays. But as this progresses, then we will really be able, Krishna willing, please pray, you'll be able to give you first-class tools. We've been talking about this, working on this for years. Yes? Remember, I spent 10 days here in Dubai many years ago working on this. But this time, I think we're really going to get going. So I'm going to go through just something very simple. You can find this online. If you go, because I don't have a projector or a printout, but if you go to my website, ramiladevidasi.org, ramiladevidasi.org, and you go to free educational materials, and you go to for children and youth. So ramiladevidasi.org, free educational materials for children and youth. And then you go to the festival's curriculum. So in the back of each of those books, you will find this chart. It looks like this. So you can find this online and you can print it out. I can also send this separately to Sri Balabhadrapu and he can send it to your email. But what's nice about looking at this in the festival curriculum is we have actually designed the festival curriculum according to this matrix. So you can find there, and one thing we did, like when I was teaching when I told you I was in Bahrain 4 years ago for 9 days, and we did 18 hours of training for the Friday school teachers there. So one of the things we did was we took from the festival curriculum and we analyzed which type of instruction fit where on the matrix. So this is a matrix of two different systems. One is called Bloom's taxonomy. Bloom's taxonomy is a system of intellectual understanding. And it's combined with what's called the seven ways to be start, to be smart, which was started by Gardner and then Armstrong. And now they're talking maybe there are maybe 8 ways or 10 ways, but anyway, here I have the 7 ways. So this is based on 2 principles from Srila Prabhupada. One is that everyone has some extraordinary talent, and to use our talent in Krishna's service, Prabhupada said, is the perfection of life. The other is that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to understand this philosophy very deeply, from many angles of vision, and to study it threadbare. So many times in educational programs, we are simply getting a superficial understanding from the students, and many times we are only appealing to students of 1 or 2 different talents. We're not engaging all of the talents, and we're not engaging at a very deep level. So what we've done here is we've put together, how do you put together the different levels of intelligence and the different levels of understanding with the different types of talents or different types of intelligence. And if you have this kind of matrix in front of you, when you are, what do you need to do before you teach? You need to
prepare.
So when you are preparing, if you have it, you can print it out. It's just 1 sheet. If you have this in front of you, then you make sure that you are going to have activities all over the place here. That you're not going to have activities just here. Because many times with teaching, they're just having activities right here. On a superficial level of understanding, just for the children who are very good with language or with logic. So the 7 types, 7 ways to be smart, the 7 main talents, and again, there may be more than this, are verbal, mathematical and logical, visual and spatial, kinesthetic body smarts, musical, interpersonal, and intrapersonal. So generally in the schools of the world, we concentrate on just the verbal and mathematical talents. There may be, you know, some physical education class, and some music class, and some art class. Generally we don't have classes in interpersonal relationships in our schools, which I think is insane. Because most of us use interpersonal skills much more than we use calculus. To spend all this time on calculus and physics and chemistry and no time on interpersonal skills in schools, really beyond my comprehension. Then intrapersonal skills, this is like being able to meditate, being able to chant japa in a way that is actually meditative, to be able to be introspective. Prabhupada talks about the introspective sage, so this is also a skill. So there should be activities for the children in all of these areas. Some using verbal skills, some using mathematical and logical skills, some using visual skills. Now, visual skills doesn't just mean you color a picture. Right? And spatial skills, kinesthetic movement, so we have children who are very good in dance, right, in athletics, then music, and then relationships, and interpersonal. And then the levels of understanding. So we have knowing something. Knowing is, I say something and you can repeat it. So if I say, okay, what are the 7 intelligences? And some of you can just say, verbal, mathematical, visual, spatial, musical, kinesthetic. You can just repeat it back to me. Huh? But you may not understand it. So I visited one school where the children could repeat, you know, 3 plus 2 is 5. And then I took some little, it was a school that was mostly outside, actually, in India. And I took some little pebbles from the road, and I said, show me. Show me 2 plus 3 is 5. And they could not show me. So that is just knowing. I can just simply repeat. I don't necessarily understand. Understand is where I can translate, like to translate the mathematical statement into rocks. To translate from music into a picture, from words into a picture, from a picture into words, from words into a drama. So when you can explain something, or even from one set of words to another set of words, you can give a summary. When you can demonstrate that you actually understand something, it's mostly done by translation. You're translating from one thing to another. You understand? So you're told in words, you make a song. You act it out. You make a project, something. Then apply it. You actually are using the knowledge to do something. So let's say we are teaching the children slokas. So like Prabhupada didn't want the children to just repeat the slokas without understanding. This was a very big point from Srila Prabhupada. So the children should be able to understand what is the meaning of the slokas. Now one thing that I like to do, I like to take verses and put the translation into the same poetic meter as the verse. So I got this idea because I met some devotees who have done this with many, many, many songs. So they've taken many of the songs of our acharyas and they put the English in the same meter. So I know many devotees put them in poetry, Kalakanta, Narayani, I think some others, Dravida. Dravida also, yes. But they don't usually use the same meter. They have a different meter for the poetry. So I've started to do this. It's not easy. One verse can take me, you know, maybe 6-7 hours to get it in the same meter. But I've just started to do this. And it's a very nice meditation because you really have to understand the verse in order to do this. And that way you can sing it in Sanskrit or Bengali, and then you can also sing it in English. And of course, it wouldn't have to be English. They could do it in Telugu or Tamil, any other language as well. So this is a way of showing understanding.
Mataji, if you don't mind, can you say one line like that?
Examples.
Okay, well, I'll give you one that was not done by me, that was done by somebody else.
Okay, no.
Do you all know the song Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande? Do you know that song?
I don't think most
of them know it. You don't know that? Okay, it's by Rupa Goswami.
Yeah.
So it goes, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Manasa Marukara Marpayani Jabara Panka Jamakarande Yadyapi Samadhi Shuvidira Pasyati Natavanaka Gramarichim Iyamichami Samyantava Jutta Natoi Kripa Buddha Vichim Bhaktirudan Chapi Yadyapi Madhava Natoi Mamati Lamadri Paramishvara Tata Rapitava Dika Durgata Gatana Viradri I am Avivavata Yadyasanatana Kavita Buttarasavaram Nevasachane Chami Amritanindini Vindamadurima Saram Krishna Deva, I offer this prayer. May my mind like a bee become offered at your feet, which are lotuses of nectar. Although in deep samadhi, even Brahma cannot see your toe tip shining so brightly. Still I desire this, for I heard, O Ajita, waves of your wondrous mercy. Although devotion rises to you, O Madhava, mine isn't even a small seed's worth. But because you are the supreme controller of all, you make impossible things possible. Lord of eternity, I firmly fix this day, tasting your wonderful sweet rasa. It defeats heaven's nectar, may my mind always stay there, relishing the essence of Madhurya. So that was done by somebody else. And I'll tell you one that I did. This is also from Rupa Goswami. This is the prayer to Govardhan, because I worship Giriraj. Anivachichachariyam chadu pushpalatali tavanikila vihangas chatrunir dutta shanka Twayavicharitamiye tena govardhana japrakatayatam bayam nirvitayeniyami. No one has been picking the flowers from the creepers on your slopes, and all your birds who live there are unshaken by all doubts. Now wandering here I ask you, Govardhana, manifest some way for satisfaction in my heart. So that's one that I did. This is my become my favorite Krishna conscious hobby. But you know what we also used to do with the children was have them learn mudras, like for the Bhagavad Gita verses. We were very fortunate to have a teacher who was both expert in Sanskrit and in Bharatanatyam. And so she taught the children how to use proper Bharatanatyam mudras, and they would act out the verses. So when they would say them in Sanskrit and English, and it was a very nice demonstration also for the community. It was very impressive to put the children on stage and they actually, Arjuna Vacha. So this is understanding. Then applying would be if they could take the verses that they knew and themselves put them into a little speech. One of the problems that we had was, I remember we were teaching our children the whole Bhagavad Gita. So Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, I don't know, some of you may know him, he passed away some years ago, great Sanskrit scholar. So he was visiting our school and he said, how many verses do your students know of the Bhagavad Gita? I said, they know all the verses. I said, okay, have them demonstrate. So I brought out one of my best students and she's just going through. And then he says, okay, tell me this verse. Because when you learn just in order, you can't find in the middle, And I was so embarrassed. And he looked at me and he said, Urmila, better 25 verses learned properly than 700 verses learned improperly. So then I put together a book of learning 48 Bhagavad Gita verses. But one of the things that also helps them to understand is if you say, okay, you need to give a speech, make a little speech on some topic. You can give a list of topics. And you have to use three of your slokas in this speech. No, something where you're using it. Something where you're actually applying it. Or pick three of the verses and make a picture. In our Bhagavad Gita book, which we also have the same website, that you can download, we have a drawing for each verse, a philosophical drawing for each verse. But the children could also do that. Or they could do a skit for each verse. Or you could give them, here's a situation. Which verse gives the answer to this problem? Just like in mathematics, you have a problem, right? Somebody goes to the shop and they are buying 5 oranges, and they have, 50 dirhams, and how much change do they have? You have a problem. And they have to take their mathematical knowledge and they have to apply it to that problem. So in the same way, you can say, here's some devotee, they're not feeling any taste in their japa, they're not sure, is Krishna really there? Give me a verse for this person. Of all the verses you learn, which verse can help this person? So that would be applying. So we've done now knowing, understanding and applying. Then analyzing, and each of these is successively more difficult. Analyzing is where you take something and you take it apart. And you understand the different parts of it. So again, if we're going to be looking at slokas, so take it apart. Okay, this part of the Sanskrit means this, this part means this, this part means this. How does it fit together? Or even the translation, right? Taking it. And analysis is also compare and contrast. Can you tell me some verses in the Bhagavad Gita that are almost identical to each other? Okay, that was the easiest one. So that's the last verse from the 9th chapter, and it's also at the very end of the 18th chapter. But they're not exactly the same. So you can take those two verses, what is the same and what is different. That is also a kind of analysis. Anytime you do a Venn diagram, you all know what is a Venn diagram with overlapping circles, right? You could compare and contrast. Or what about two verses that are very different? Suppose you take where Krishna says to Arjuna, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. And a little while after that, Krishna says, do not care about this honor and dishonor. Huh? What is this? First he's saying you must care a lot about being honored. If you are dishonored, it is worse than death. They say, don't care about this honor and dishonor. So to analyze, you tap the children, compare these. What do they mean? I remember when I was teaching Mayatatami Dham Sarvam Jagadavyakti Mutina Matstani Sarvutani Nachaham Tesvasti Taham. By me in my manifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are me, but I am not in them. So I would teach a Bhagavad Gita verse every week in the Gurukul. And so we had a then break from the class, and I heard the six-year-old children, they're speaking to each other, and they say, I don't think Mother Urmila understands Krishna conscious philosophy. They were speaking like this. They said, yeah, she taught us the wrong thing in the class. Because she said, all beings are in me, but I am not in them. And that is not right. I know. Krishna is in everyone's heart. I don't think she knows this. Seriously, they didn't think I was listening. So I'm giving, these were six-year-olds, so I'm giving this example because even the six-year-olds, you can engage like this. You know, what does Krishna mean? So you take this verse, like Ishwara Sarva Ambhutana, Radesha Dunachistati, and then take Mayatatamidam Sarva, and have them compare. What does this mean? Of course, six-year-olds have to do it on a very low level. 16-year-olds can do it on a higher level. For the older children, you really want them to get into their doubts. You want to surface their doubts. Again, I really suggest you read Gopika Sharma's article right now on Dandavats. It is just absolutely excellent. Then the next level of understanding is called creating. So you think, well, I already created with application. Well, that's true, but this level of creating requires far more originality than just applying. So applying, you say, okay, I have these slokas that I've learned, I'm going to use them in a talk, or I'm going to use them to answer a question. But creating, I do something new that's much more original. Huh? I use the knowledge to do something that's original. Okay, let's say 20 verses you have learned. Take any 5 of them and you create your own. You decide what you want to create. You can create a diorama, you can create a piece of music, you can create a speech. Right? It is another level of creativity. And the deepest level of understanding is to be able to evaluate. So if I say, okay, here's 3 examples of someone using this particular shloka, please decide which of these is a good use and which is not, and explain it. You understand? You give them like 3 paragraphs with some argument using a sloka and describe it. So that's all in the verbal category. We just went through the levels of understanding only in verbal. You can also go through these levels in mathematical and logical. You can go through it in visual, spatial, in kinesthetic, in musical, in interpersonal, and intrapersonal. So let's give it just a brief example from one of that. Let's say you're going to evaluate visual. So you could have, again, sticking with the idea of slokas, let's say you have a sloka and you have 10 different paintings. Which painting goes with this sloka the best? Rate them. Which of these paintings most explain this sloka? And explain why. So that would be evaluative visual. Right? What about kinesthetic? So you could design, if you're going to be creating kinesthetic, you could design a dance that would actually demonstrate a particular sloka or group of slokas. With music, you could compose music, you could analyze pieces of music, you could pick relevant music. One of the things that I do as a teacher, I create PowerPoints with music. So I take little bits of music from various places and I match it with a particular sloka or a particular idea, so I have a multimedia presentation. So this would be analyzing or creating on a musical level. Interpersonal is where we're working with other people in a group to do these things, and intrapersonal, again, is where you are doing your own inner evaluation. So as our time is limited, my suggestion to all of you is that, again, you please go online, armiladevidasi.org, free educational materials for children and youth, any of the festival activities, and at the back of every festival book, you will find this chart. And you want to use this chart and really make sure you get off in the right hand and the bottom. Don't just stay in the upper left corner of the chart. And plan. Really plan to make sure that every single class you teach has something for different talents. You don't have to hit all 7 talents every class, but you want to hit 2 or 3 every class, and over a month you want to be hitting all 7. You're not going to be hitting all 6 levels of Bloom's taxonomy in every class, but don't just stay at the knowledge level. And then we talked about having our attitude, our mood in teaching, and really working on becoming an expert. So we've just had a chance to speak theoretically. What would be nice is if somehow or other I could spend more than a few hours in the class, and we could work on practicum. But again, I think you have also talent here within your community. Take advantage of the talent that you have. Make this the most excellent children's education program in the world. Make this a program where anywhere I go, if people say, Orila, what educational program do you recommend? I would say, oh, Dubai. All right? And please take this very, very seriously. These children, they are the future of our movement. There has never been, in the history of any religion, there has never been any religion that survived simply by bringing in converts, for lack of a better word. I don't like that word. It never happened. So right now, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. You know that, right?
Yes.
How? Because of what?
Children.
Children. Children. They have a lot of children. This is a big problem for us in Islam. We're like renunciation, renunciation, renunciation. You have 2 children? How do you chant your vows? I say, my daughter-in-law has 10 children. She chants her vows. So they have many children, and they actually work at educating their children. And this is just sociological, historical. We talk a lot in ISKCON on the leadership level about succession, 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 but honestly, they don't talk much about children. So this is the most important part of succession.
You said a pictorial. If we are teaching any shloka, if we know something, we can connect with the picture. So we can draw and we can...
Sure, of course. Yes. Be creative. And get to the real concerns, especially as your students become older. Make sure you are teaching to their real concerns. Not your concerns, their concerns. Now, please do not hesitate to have the children be able to ask any question in your class. For my older students, I required, they had a Bhagavad Gita class, I required that they read the material before and they had to come to the class with at least 3 of their own questions. And I said, you should try to get questions that I cannot answer. And if they got questions I could not answer, I would say, oh, very good, very good. And I asked them, please think of the most difficult questions. And I did not shame or embarrass them if they asked questions of their doubts. So the example I always give, one of my students said, Ermila, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada seems to be really criticizing Arjuna. It seems to me that this is Vaishnava Parad. And I said, very good question. I did not say, oh, you are criticizing Prabhupada, how dare you? I said, this is a very good question. I mean, she is a second initiated devotee. This sister was like 14, so now she is 30-something. She's a second initiated devotee, married, 2 children. She does a lot of service for the movement. Why? Because we made it a safe place. We made it an intellectually, emotionally safe place that you could talk about your real concerns and your real doubts and have your real issues answered. Especially the teenagers, if they, no, we're not going to talk. I met one devotee in Mayapur. He said, I'm making a whole program to teach the Bhagavatam. I said, oh, let me see. So he showed me instructions for the teachers. Do not discuss anything controversial. I said, Krishna Das Kaviraj says, do not be afraid of controversy, they strengthen the mind. If we are unwilling to address difficult questions, the children will think we do not have the answers. Or we have something to hide. Now, if you don't have the answer, you can always say, I do not know, but I will try to find out. You don't have to pretend to be God and know the answer when you don't know. Only God knows everything. Not necessary to pretend to be God. It's okay. Maybe some of you are God and I don't know. But if they ask something you genuinely don't know, say, I do not know, but I will try to find out. Or you can sometimes say, you know, I think so-and-so would know. And we can ask this person. And so get to what actually interests and engages the children according to their talents, according to their needs. And then you will get, the children will become then very solidly established in Krishna consciousness. All right? Many, many more things we could say, but I think this is enough for one session. And I need to go upstairs, right?
Fine.
Well, I have to also walk upstairs. I have been trying to practice this, you know, just up the stairs in 2 seconds, but it's not working yet.
2 seconds
are
over.
Next visit to Dubai, I will have this perfected and I will not need to walk up the stairs.
Okay.
We could, is there anything else we could have, maybe one or two? Anything else anybody wanted to
questions?
Any other questions?
There's one more topic before you pick up questions.
Yes, please.
Sunday and Monday are not fixed.